Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Eddie, good job. It is 6 o'clock. It's the morning show here with Boomer Esiason and Jerry Recco in the power chair this morning. Al and Eddie on the other side of glass, of course, and all of your calls this morning. And I'm telling you, I am a worn-out New York sports fan.
In a good way, though.
In a very good way, and in a very bad way, because the emotions have been running all over the place since Thursday, since Trevor Bauer took the mound with the Indians, since the Rangers lost their home opener Friday, all the stuff going back and forth with me and you on Twitter, who's the NARP, who's the Malloy, who touched the money, who's done this, what is Joe Girardi doing wrong now, and the fans and the screaming and the yelling going on. The college football on Saturday was incredible. The Ranger game Saturday night, they give up 8 freaking goals to an Ice Capades team. They can't stop anybody. Then last night, a 1-run game, pitching decisions, managerial, who's in the lineup, who's going to pitch. I mean, it's crazy. And then, of course, yesterday afternoon, you have the Jets winning, go to 3-2. Just a nice story here at the beginning of the NFL season, week 5 in. And then, of course, the Giants season completely coming to an implosion and coming to an end right before everybody's eyes, with them basically losing not only Dwayne Harris, their best special teams player, but 3 wide receivers, Shepard, Marshall, and, of course, the broken ankle with Odell Beckham Jr. And then the Kansas City Chiefs last night, and J.J. Watt, getting carted off, and he's out now for the year. I'm telling you, Jerry, I am worn out. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I tell you what, I'm good. This was one hell of a weekend, starting with Thursday fine, but we discussed, of course, Thursday and Friday. Starting Friday night, watching that Yankee game Friday night, and you're thinking they're going to come out and probably get swept, even though I do think the two of us thought Tanaka would pitch well, and boy, was he really good last night. It was a wild weekend. Starting Friday and ending late last night, I mean, there's enough stuff here to talk about for the entire week. Literally, like legitimately, you could make a couple of hours out of what the Jets have been doing at 3-2, playing the Patriots now for first place Sunday. The Giants, I don't even know where to start with them, whether it's the 0-5 start. I mentioned this to Al right before.
The Giants have become the Mets in the NFL.
They have.
Basically, is what's happened.
Oh, there's no doubt. I asked this to Al before you walked in, and I have to look it up. Do you think there's ever been I'll call him a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not calling him a Hall of Fame quarterback. But do you think there's ever been a potential Hall of Fame quarterback in the history of football that has had one season start 0-7 and another season start 0-5 and staring 0-7 in the face?
Yeah, I know. It's
really
it's
crazy, right?
The one thing I will say about Eli that really hasn't been reported anywhere, and I don't know why, because, he deserves – I don't know if you want to call it blame or credit, whatever, for the 2 Odell Beckham injuries that Odell Beckham has suffered. One in the preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. The ball was high. Odell Beckham had to go up and get it. The guy comes down and hits his leg. There goes his left ankle. And he's out for, 6 to 8 weeks. And then last night, another high ball and another broken ankle. You have to be accurate. You got to throw these balls in the bodies of the wide receivers, especially when they're coming into the middle of the defensive secondary. And, nobody's talking about the inaccuracy of those throws. And I don't know why. I am, because I play the position, and I know where the receivers want it. I know where we're supposed to throw it. And unfortunately, 2 inaccurate throws basically has cost Odell Beckham Jr. this season. And the one thing I will say, if anybody ever out there would have blamed Odell Beckham Jr. for holding out for more money and for a long-term contract and guaranteed money, I'm telling you right now, yesterday should have changed your mind, because this is what, I know Phil Simms came on here and said, I know my former partner Craig Carton has been saying for years and years and years, and me as a former NFL player and an NFLPA rep for the team, for my team back in 1987, I would tell you the same thing, that guys like Odell Beckham Jr. that are special players deserve to be paid, and they should be paid for what they have given you, not what you think they're going to give you. And Odell Beckham over the last 3 years has outkicked his contract 10 times over. Thank you, Allie.
Right, but then there's the other question, too, is are you going to give that contract to a guy who does certain things that he does?
I understand that. That's a whole other part, and you and I have talked about this 1,000 times in regards to Odell Beckham Jr. specifically. But I will say, from him on the field and what he brings the Giants, that is unquestionable. You know it. You see it. Everybody knows it. And now he's got to deal with most likely ankle surgery with a fractured left ankle.
Yeah, he's going to get a second opinion, the last thing
right.
I saw.
So there's no definitive answer as to what's happening with him.
Yeah.
I know the Friday night game with the Yankees and the decisions or the non-decisions or whatever Joe Girardi decided to do and didn't do has been raked over the coals 1,000 times over.
Yeah.
Here's my take on the whole thing, and I'm going to be quick about it because I do not want to get into an argument with classless Yankee fans that showed up to the stadium last night and booed their manager on national television in the middle of a divisional series. Totally classless as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, if you don't like it, too bad. That's how I felt about it. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that they were New York Yankee fans doing that because I understand unleash the dogs on Joe Girardi because he didn't ask for a replay. And I know he was wrong. His post-game press conference, you know, he stumbled over the answer as to why he didn't do what he did. And everybody who watched that replay 1,000 times over in their living room, drinking their scotch or their beer or whatever it was that they had, could determine after an hour or so, or maybe 5 minutes or so, or 10 minutes or so, not the 30 seconds that's allotted, and doesn't have a replay guru telling him what to do because he's got to watch the game, could easily say, you know, what an imbecile, as somebody did tweet out, and then of course Aroldis Chapman. I do believe that Aroldis Chapman accidentally liked it.
Okay.
When I saw it originally, I was so pissed off at Aroldis Chapman. I was like, who is this disgrace to do something like this to his manager? I'm like, you know what? Even he's not that stupid to do something like that. So I will give Aroldis Chapman a pass, meaning that he's probably got big fat fingers and he hit the wrong button in the world of the Twitter sphere. So think about if you are a manager in today's baseball game, what do you have to deal with? You have to deal with replay now. And this is all on you, by the way.
How is this on me?
No, I'm talking to the manager.
Oh.
It's all on the manager. You know, it's just like it's all on the NFL coach
sure.
to make another decision on top of everything else that they got to deal with. And then on top of that, you know, you got to deal with the social media idiots and how that all of a sudden drives a narrative as to whether or not a guy should be fired or he's an imbecile. Maybe the guy who sent the tweet in the first place is a freaking imbecile.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Of course.
And you've dealt with this, and I've dealt with this, and anybody who's ever, you know, in any sort of public eye anywhere and has some sort of opinion, some jackass is going to basically take his pain out on you via Twitter because, you know, he's got the Twitter muscles. So that whole thing that the managers have to deal with now. And then on top of that, it's like the prevailing thought, like, this guy is such a loser. But should I remind people of what Joe Girardi had to deal with this year and how he had to manage the egos, the fragile egos of the $100 million, you know, Aroldis Chapman, who happens to be his closer, who he had to take out of the closer role for about 6 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it was, so he can get his action back, so he could control his pitches, so he could become more competitive, if you will. And that's exactly what happened when he did it when he played against Tampa in the Citi Field. Can I tell you about what he had to deal with Gary Sanchez behind the plate, or maybe Aaron Judge in a prolonged slump in August, or managing CC Sabathia's just hideous body style and lack of taking care of himself and being completely handled this year to the point where he had 16 wins. I mean, there's so many things that Joe Girardi has done so well for the Yankee fan, and it comes down to one basically non-decision because he's got to make it in 30 seconds. He's getting bad information from the guy who's doing the replay, and so let's boo him and let's run him out of town.
You okay?
I got pissed this weekend.
By the way, I don't blame you. I would say this from the game on Friday night because I took a beating when I put it out there, but I thought his biggest mistake Friday night was taking Sabathia out of the game.
All right, so
that's a baseball decision. I thought it was a bad decision at the time, and I'll continue to say it was a bad decision.
I would say this. If he does the replay, and we're all assuming, that if he does the replay, that the replay would have overturned the initial call on the field.
I believe the replay would have shown a foul ball, but the one thing, and Evan Roberts had this on Saturday, it would not have been a strikeout. You would have had to have replayed the pitch. So the notion that he would have replayed it and they would have saw the foul ball off the knob of the bat, caught, strike three, inning over, not true. According to Evan, Saturday, he looked this thing up in the baseball rule book. You would have had a repitch. You probably would not have had the.
Then what would that, would that have been, a ball then?
No, it would have been a dead play.
Why would that have been a dead play?
I'm just telling you what I heard Evan say on Saturday. By baseball rules, you'd replay the pitch.
I don't know why that
is. But that said,
but that was a cascading of issues that came right after
that. But here is what. But to me, the reason, and I don't want to get on Joe Girardi either, because I'm with you. I like him, and if they want to fire him, you know who would love to have him.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Right, exactly. But I thought the decision to take Sabathia out of an 8-3 game just because he was doing fine, 70-something pitches. The guy's 30, let him pitch. Then when you go to two guys that just basically threw a million pitches 2 days ago, I didn't like those moves, but whatever. The thing about the replay that is a big problem, and it's big problems for guys like me and you, maybe not you, but for guys like me and fans out there, this super slow-mo that slows things down to the finite detail that really can make the coach or the manager look like an idiot if they don't on the spot make the decision, really hurts them. Now, if you play that replay over and over again in real time, you just replay it, but you don't slow it down to the nth degree. All of a sudden, it's hard to tell what the hell happened. And this other notion that, well, he didn't listen to Gary Sanchez. How many times, Boomer, have we seen a guy get thrown out at second, a guy thinks he beats out a ball at first, and immediately they're pointing to the dugout, I'm safe. And how many times are they wrong? You just can't say, well, Gary said it hit the knobs. You can't do that. So there are issues there. I understand. I'm just happy for him that they came back and won last night. And another thing that we can say our mistake, we apologize. I got on Girardi last week for not pinch hitting for Greg Bird facing Andrew Miller. He had no chance. And what the hell happens last night?
And you want to know something? I think that Greg Bird reacted to that. Because, you know, you see when he hit the home run, and you see his face and how he got into the dugout afterwards, like, I did this, you know, all those idiots out there thought that I was overmatched by Bird. You know, that was us.
Yeah, sure was.
I would just say, what a weekend. I mean, what a just an unbelievable weekend. So if you're a Yankee fan, you're most likely a Giant fan if you're a football fan. You know, traditional teams, great franchises, Super Bowls, World Series. You know, it's all interlocked with each other.
Sure.
So, and I'm just saying, it's a generality that I'm basically saying that if you're a Yankee fan, you're a Giant fan. If you're a Yankee and a Giant fan, you're a Knick fan, right?
Sure.
And if you're a Yankee and a Giant and Knick fan, you happen to be a hockey fan, you happen to be a Ranger fan.
You had a tough weekend going into that game last night.
It was incredible. It was like up and down and all over the place. And then, of course, yesterday, you know, it just – the NFL is losing stars. I mean, Derek Carr didn't play. Marcus Mariota didn't play. J.J. Watt's out for the year now.
Yep.
Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be out for the year now. You know, this is not good for the league. And the league is dealing with another a number of other things on top of the players that we're losing due to injury. You know, whether it be owners like Stephen Ross and Jerry Jones now completely changing their conversation from a couple weeks ago after President Trump did the tweet and the players reacted to where they are today, basically saying, Jerry Jones saying, you're not going to play for the Cowboys if you don't stand for the national anthem.
No, he said it's so important to him that if it means the team will not be unified, then so be it. We won't be unified. If you're not going to stand and that's going to basically fracture the locker room, we'll have a fractured locker room.
And you're not going to play.
So, and you won't play.
And it's pretty amazing that he came out and said it that way, because that was like, I think it's shocking to a lot of people because most people find that to be, you know, a politically incorrect statement because he doesn't want to upset his locker room. The other person, the owner that has changed, you know, the way he thinks in 2 weeks, you know, probably has a lot to do with fans getting ticked off and sponsors getting ticked off and everybody else reacting to it, is Stephen Ross of the Dolphins. He basically came out and said, yeah, we all have to stand for the national anthem now. So basically some owners here, for whatever reason, seem to be, you know, putting a line in the sand and saying, don't cross it.
Now, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I know what the Cowboys have done. Have the Dolphins had players that had sat or kneeled?
Yes.
And now
Yeah.
So that's a little different.
But
at least for the Cowboys.
Stephen Ross is a, you know, he's a gazillionaire. He's building 10 buildings here. He's with related properties. He's a nice guy. I know him personally. I would say that his politics tend to be liberal. You can understand where he would be coming from if he were supporting the players,
right,
which he was. So it didn't surprise me initially when he was out supporting the players. It did surprise me when I saw what I saw yesterday and his comments yesterday,
right,
because they were a complete 180 from where he was 2 weeks ago. So that bears watching. I think there's going to be more strife and more tension within the NFL now that these owners are coming out and saying what they're saying. It'll be interesting because I'm sure the media will be running to all the black players on the Cowboys asking them about their owner's statement and how he feels.
I do know from watching, I try to watch with what I do with Compass Media Networks with the pre and the post. I try to watch a lot of Cowboy press conferences during the week. And there have been times this season where I don't want to say the reporters have pressed the issue, but they have asked the players, specifically Dez Bryant, about opinions, and they just won't say anything.
Well, the amazing thing is knowing Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman, all those guys from those years, Roger Staubach, all the guys that I kind of know and have a relationship with, that I've spoken to them about their owner, Jerry Jones, and kind of the craziness that must be going on down there around the team. This is prior to all this flag stuff. They all said that they love Jerry Jones, that he basically will do anything for those players, that will support all their charities off the field.
Goes a long way.
And, Michael Irvin said, man, I ain't ever going against Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones got me. He's got my back. And it's
a bigger supporter of Dez Bryant than Jerry Jones?
Nobody. And that's why these guys, these players, are put in a really just difficult spot. And Jerry Jones now is drawing the line and saying, this is the way it's going to be. This is how we are as Cowboys. This is what our team's going to be about. And basically, for all intents and purposes, Jerry said, if you're not standing for the national anthem, you're not playing.
You know what the problem with all this is again? We're talking about it yet again, and again, the message is lost because now it's about, the flag and disrespecting the flag and what it was supposed to be. But again, here we are talking about it. It's like it doesn't go away.
Well, remember also what happened yesterday. So Vice President Mike Pence goes to the Indianapolis Colts game. He wants to go there because they're going to unveil the Peyton Manning statue, which is beautiful, in front of Lucas Oil Stadium. They're going to have a halftime presentation for Peyton Manning. And, of course, during the national anthem, a number of San Francisco 49ers, the one team where obviously Colin Kaepernick came from, who have more players kneeling during the anthem with their hand over their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be accurate about that. Mike Pence basically tweeted out that I left the game, that the president asked me to leave the game, that I'm not going to stay at a game where players are going to disrespect our military, our flag, and all that other stuff. So there's mixed messages all over the place, and the intensity now is ratcheted up tenfold, I think, with the owners saying what they're saying, Vice President Pence leaving the game yesterday, and who knows what's going to happen this coming week. And I'll be in Chicago tonight for the Mitchell Trubisky era to unfold for the Chicago Bears. Be interesting to see what the players do tonight, if anything, during the national anthem.
Well, Monday Night Football with Boomer.
So, anyway, we got a million things to talk about. We want to take all your phone calls. I'm going 100 miles an hour because I got no sleep last night. How could anybody get any sleep after that baseball game last night?
You're right. It's funny, too, because we're talking about Girardi, and I know he'll be a theme the entire day, and I'm sure the people calling up will want to talk about him. I can't be a fraud. I'm watching the game last night thinking, what are we doing? Like, I didn't understand the whole Robertson and then the five-out save for Chapman, and it turned out to be brilliant.
It turned out to be brilliant. He's basically, it's an elimination game, so he's got to treat it as such, and it's a one-run game.
Right.
So he does what he normally does. Tanaka's, fortunately enough, gave him seven innings.
It was fantastic.
And by the way, how many guys swung on both teams, at bad pitches? There are so many. I know these balls had
just
moved.
Just because
Carrasco
of what they
and,
were.
Well, Carrasco and Tanaka were unbelievable.
They were on.
The ball, as John Smoltz kept saying, the ball started in the zone and then it ended up out of the zone. That was pitching 101.
That was vintage Tanaka last night.
Well, Carrasco too, for
absolutely.
That matter.
So, I don't watch Carrasco a lot, though. I watch Tanaka.
Carrasco, whatever. But anyway, you watch them, and that was pitching 101. They were great last night. But as far as Girardi and his decision-making, Tanaka goes seven, Robertson's got the eighth, and Chapman's got the ninth.
Right, but then when you take – my point is, when he took Robertson out so quickly, I'm thinking, boy, that's a fast hook. And all of a sudden, now if he doesn't lock it down, now what have you done? And the other thing, too, is by going to the five-out save, and it, again, turned out to be great, and Chapman was amped up. I mean, the 102-plus pitches, miles-an-hour pitches.
That was him in Citi Field.
Was amazing.
That was him in Citi Field.
It was awesome. My question would be, now you have another elimination game tonight. Can he close for you tonight, having thrown 35 pitches last night and expending a lot of energy?
You got Dellin Betances. He can. Dellin Betances has pitched really good in this series.
Right, but we had so little confidence in him Friday night, we didn't want to use him. So now you're going to ask him to close if possible.
If you ask me, he should have started the eighth inning
Agreed.
On Friday night.
Agreed.
But it didn't happen. All right, 619 on the fan. It's the morning show. It's Boomer and Jerry here at WFAN. Lots of calls on this Columbus Day. I know a lot of people are not at work today. There's a big parade here in New York City. A lot of people sitting at home watching us on the CBS Sports Network. So thanks for that. A lot of things happened yesterday in the NFL today. Phil didn't realize that the show was actually starting, and he basically froze up for some reason. I had to remind him, hey, Phil, it's live television.
Talk,
please. So we got a lot to get to, including Joe Girardi's decision-making, the 8 goals the Rangers gave up on Saturday night, which I told you was going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Got a score to win, and the Yankees did so by the slimmest of margins Sunday night.
1-0 to Bird.
Swung on, there it goes. Deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's bye-bye Birdie in the right field seat.
That's John Sterling here on The Fan.
Everybody's heard about the Bird.
Now, did you hear, I'm sure you did, and we love John, Matt Vasgersian did it on TV.
Yes.
Well, I know a national announcer, great call.
Yes,
I
mean, he let it breathe. It
was good. A really good call. Maybe he's a Yankee fan, I don't know, but I mean, he was into it.
Would you use that for broadcasting school? Is that what you would show all the students?
Had that place,
yes.
I might show them. Yes.
That would be a great thing for you to do.
I agree, yes.
You know, I think you and Al should do a podcast like on national announcers like Kevin Harlan or Matt Vasgersian, and kind of rate the national play-by-play guys.
We could do that.
And then compare them to the local guys when they do, like, you know, home run calls for the home team. You know what I mean?
Suppose we could do that, yes. It's possible. I don't know how far that would go, but yeah, why not? What the hell?
Okay.
Joe Girardi liked Greg Bird's limited splits against lefties, especially down the stretch of the season, and the first baseman rewards him with that bomb off of Andrew Miller into the second deck. 5-out save for Aroldis Chapman, following up 7 outstanding innings for Masahiro Tanaka. The Yankees blanked the Indians in Game 3 at the stadium, 1-0. As recent as a month ago, Girardi wasn't counting on Bird for postseason play. Now he hits a massively important home run.
To be honest with you, I bet on it. I bet on myself. I got a little taste in 2015, and I wanted nothing more than to be back.
Only the second lefty to homer against Miller this season, the first since June 13th.
71 left-handed batters. I saw that, too. That's pretty wild.
Cody Bellinger was the other one.
That's exactly right.
As for Tanaka's performance, Girardi offered high praise.
A great hitting club that had momentum, and he was able to shut him down. So that's the best performance that I've seen from him the whole time.
Where's everybody that said, you can't have the series if Severino doesn't start? Now what are we thinking? Pretty good, right? Now you got a well-rested Severino.
Game,
exactly. Yes.
I was thinking that Severino's got to be thinking, they showed him yesterday in the bullpen, reacting to the home run and everything else. And Smoltz basically said, this guy wants a chance.
He's going
to
get it.
He's going to get one. Here we go.
The line for Tanaka, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Worked around base runners in the 4th, 5th, and 6th with an assist from Aaron Judge in that 6th inning as he robbed Francisco Lindor of a 2-run homer right up against the right field wall.
When you're not hitting, you got to make an impact on the game somehow. So I was able to rob one there and, you know, keep the game scores for Masa.
That was Judge after the game on FS1. Not doing it with the bat in this series. 0 for 10, 8 strikeouts, but he did make the huge play there. And then you've got Chapman. He and Girardi moved past that Instagram incident following Game 2. Chapman relieved David Robertson with 1 out and 1 on in the 8th. Got the final 5 outs, 4 via strikeout, 34 pitches, 30 of them were fastballs, averaging 101.5
now,
miles per hour.
Here's another interesting stat that I saw last night, because I think this is interesting. So he had 10 pitches last night at 102 miles. You have this.
Go ahead.
102 miles per hour or more, right? And 10 pitches last night.
Right.
All season long, there's only been 10 other pitches by other pitchers, not including him, that have gone 102 or more.
Well, he basically equaled the entire
season's
worth.
In one outing, in an inning and two-thirds.
But the one thing I will say about him is I don't necessarily know you could expect him to do this through an entire season. You know what I mean?
No,
that's kind of what happened to him in the middle of the season.
Right.
And that's why Girardi did what managers are supposed to do. Take him out of that high-energy situation, get him out of there, put somebody else in there, let him get his crap right, put him on the DL, whatever you do with him, and then bring him back and let's hope that he gets to where he is today. And that's exactly what Girardi did all, you know, basically this
they
year.
I mean, I know they got a couple of guys on in the 9th inning, but I mean, some of them had no chance. Just blowing the ball by them. It's pretty cool.
Completely different guy than you saw midseason. So it was 34 pitches, and Chapman after the game asked if he'll be ready to close again in Game 4.
If we don't win tomorrow, there's no Game 5. So whatever I can do to be ready to pitch tomorrow, I'll do it, and I'll be available to pitch tomorrow.
That's, of course, their interpreter, Marlon Abreu.
You know what I would do? I would also tell the manager, listen, guys, stay off the Instagram, stay off the Twitter, stay off the Facebook, and focus in on trying to get through this. You know, oh, I know I don't want to, you know, hurt your free speech rights and all that other crap. But, you know, all you do by liking and disliking and all this other crap on social media is create problems for everybody.
Yeah, referencing your manager as an imbecile is not a good look.
Can we just for like 5 days stay off the crap and just focus on what I'm making $100 million to do? Can we just do that?
Stay off the crap.
Yes.
That should be the t-shirt tonight. Stay off the crap.
I would. I mean, I don't know how these players deal with it, and I certainly don't know. It's just something else now that the manager's got to deal with.
Yeah, well, they came through it okay. No? Well,
commentary by Chris. All right, continue.
They're not through it just yet.
Last night they came through it okay.
Yeah, but you're
pitched
Yankee
well. Girardi's not upset about it.
But here's the whole deal. You know what the Yankee fan is saying this morning? Well, if Joe Girardi didn't screw up Friday night, we'd be up 2-1.
Nah, you don't know that.
I mean, yes, I've already heard 1,000 people doing it.
I know that, but you don't know that that's the case.
It was a rough night. It was a rough night for him.
Yeah, because he didn't replay the ball that hit.
Well,
it
was more than that. No. He made, as we already covered, he made several mistakes Friday night. He had a bad day.
It was rough.
It was a cascading negative.
But it started with taking Sabathia out.
100%. I thought he was
very
quick.
There's no reason to do that.
He gets out of that inning. You guys aren't even talking about it. And I
no,
swear
no,
to God,
not,
I figured
that's not true.
I figured this morning when he put Robertson in the eighth inning where he's put
him. Here's why.
You know, and then screwed that up. I would imagine we were coming here today. Joe Girardi's an imbecile.
Hold on a sec. Answer this to me, right? If this was the Mets, and I'm only doing it because you're a Met fan, and you had two guys that gave you everything they had and threw more pitches than they usually ever do just 2 days prior, you're up 8-3. This is not an 8-7 game.
I
get it, dude.
I had the
as
situation.
You do, call us dude,
dude
by
I'm
the way.
Dude, I'll tell you, I had the situation. You know, I had the situation
there
with Matt Harvey coming out in the ninth inning.
There was,
when Terry Collins should have sat him down and put Pamela out there, but he didn't do it.
Reason at all to take him out of that game. And by the way, if you were going to, why those two? Give him a break. You're up 5 runs. It was not do or die in that point.
I totally agree with
Jerry. That was a big mistake, I thought.
And I'm still worried about Robertson, by the way.
To me, a big...
I can't.
You brought it up, so you have to. It was a bigger mistake to me than the replay was. So, continue, Chris.
And Robertson, by the way, last night, I didn't think looked particularly sharp as well. So
me neither.
He was amazing in the wild card game.
He's ruined. Okay.
No. I didn't say he's ruined. I just don't think he's fully recovered.
We had to win the big wild card game. We had to get 26 outs with our bullpen. But now they all suck all of a sudden.
He was amazing.
There was no reason to pitch on Friday.
Right. Then he pitches there, and then another two, and one day
off,
and he comes back in game three.
And for God's sakes, get him out.
Let's go to Paulie in the Bronx. Paulie, what's happening, Paul?
Good morning. How do you do?
Good. What's going on, brother?
It was a pretty good day yesterday, other than the Giants. We got my Rangers and we got my Yankees.
All right. So what's your big deal about last night?
I was embarrassed when they booed Girardi because look how he pieced together that wild card game and the World Series he's won. I mean, it was a bad night for him.
It was a bad look for Yankee fans, I thought. But then again, I'm not a Yankee fan.
It was very bad. And one more thing before I go. Did you see the Met fans in the audience and the crowd last night? They had Jay Bruce
signs.
Yeah,
yes.
I know that. Yeah, of course. Yeah, everybody's tweaking everybody around here. I get it.
I can't picture going to a Met game with a Yankee jersey and saying, "Look, Granderson." I can't picture that.
That's great.
I don't think a Yankee fan would ever do that.
That's great, Paulie. That's great. That was awesome last night. You got to admit that.
Yep. Luis Severino opposed by Trevor Bauer tonight. 7:08 first pitch. Pre-game coverage on the Fan 6:25. Bauer coming back on 3 days rest after that dominant performance in game number one. Meantime, the Red Sox also avoided a sweep at home against the Astros.
He swings and he hits a drive deep to right center field. Way back. It is gone. A two-run homer. Rafael Devers. And the Red Sox lead it 4-3.
Calling the Red Sox radio network. 20 years old.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, he's done a nice job for them. Boston erased an early 3-0 deficit. Really could have been 6-0 if not for Mookie Betts robbing Josh Reddick of a 3-run homer in the second. Devers added another RBI later on. Haylen Ramirez,
and that's Reddick
four,
right in right field
ribbies.
That can't catch the home run, right?
Yeah, right off his
so
glove.
So he's basically responsible for how many runs the wrong way.
Could have saved former Red Sox helping out his former team. There you go. Jackie Bradley Jr., 3-run homer, and David Price stabilized this game. 4 scoreless innings out of the bullpen. The Red Sox won it 10-3. Rick Porcello, Charlie Morton in game 4, which kicks off another quadruple header today. 1:00 at Fenway. You've also got the Nats and the Cubs tied at 1, and the Dodgers leading the Diamondbacks 2-0. And now we get to the football. Another disastrous Sunday for the Giants.
Zips one high over the middle, and it's incomplete. Intended for Shepard. Shepard
took a shot.
Oh, he's grabbing his leg, though. His foot, his left foot. Chime one deep down the left side, looking for Marshall. They made a one-handed catch, but he was out of bounds, and he's down and not getting up. Beckham is down and hurt, grabbing his left ankle. I can see his right hand grabbing his ankle.
Bob Papa and Carl Banks
Bob
here on The Fan
Popper,
describing the carnage at MetLife Stadium. Not only did the Giants lose to the Chargers 27-22 falling to 0-5, they actually lose four receivers in this game. And obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. is the headline, a fractured ankle. Surgery sounds likely. MRI today to get some clarity. Ankle sprains for Sterling Shepard and Brandon Marshall. The fractured foot for Dwayne Harris. It left Ben McAdoo's team severely shorthanded in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it significantly altered the game. We had one receiver left at the end of the ball game.
Basically forced to run multiple tight end sets, and Eli Manning turned it over twice down the stretch. Melvin Ingram strip sacked shortly after the Beckham injury, led to Melvin Gordon's second TD catch of the game, and then Eli throws that desperation pick in the waning seconds.
You know, having three tight ends and one receiver on a two-minute drive, you know, we were able to get a couple first downs, do some things, but not the ideal situation.
Beckham did have a 48-yard score in the second half before the injury. Giants were once again in position to win. Couldn't get it done. They waste a good day for the running game, 152 yards on 25 carries. So 0-5, significant injuries, season spiraling out of control. Somehow Justin Pugh still able to even reference the playoffs.
The percentages have kept dropping every week. I mean, last week there was only one team that did, and I guess that means that no teams have done it at 0-5.
So we await final
well,
word
it's hard.
On
it's,
Beckham.
It's just, you know, it's the Mets. It's basically the Mets reincarnated in a football
sure
team
is.
Right now. And you lose your best player. You lose the energy of your football team. You lose Sterling Shepard, who was actually having a nice year. He was actually playing well. And, of course, Brandon Marshall's season at least now is up you know, with question marks, depending on, you know, how severe his ankle is. So,
and then at Denver now.
Yeah.
Just
then
an absolutely terrible, terrible situation.
It is not good. Who knew, but things going much better for the Jets.
Miles Garrett has gone to the sideline. McCown puts it up. Open man. Curse. Touchdown. How about that?
It's our guy Sam Rosen with the call.
That was a great play,
by
the way. It really was.
Yep. And that was Josh McCown with the second of two second-half TD passes, one to Austin Seferian-Jenkins, that one there to Jermaine Kearse, the latter capping a 97-yard drive.
Go ahead. Boomer, if you're Hugh Jackson, what the hell are you doing yesterday?
Well, first of all, they should have never started Deshaun Kaiser. I've been saying that since week one, that kid is not ready.
All good.
He is just not ready.
Why are we running option plays at 10-7, why are we going for it on fourth down rather than, I don't know, tie good. The game?
He's one of 20 now. He's 1-20 as a head coach.
Yep.
And Chris Hogan should be their starting quarterback. I mean, he actually played well.
I think he might be now going forward.
He should be because, and it's not an indictment of Deshaun Kaiser for future play. I mean, there's enough there you could see that maybe the kid does have it. He is just overwhelmed right now, and it's obvious you can see it. I felt it from week one that he was not ready to play, and it certainly has shown itself. But here's the other thing I was saying about the Jets. I thought the Jets probably would win at least two games of their first five. I figured Jacksonville and I figured Cleveland. I didn't think that they would beat Miami the way that they beat them. And, you know, so now here they sit 3-2. And now you take a look at their schedule. It's New England, Miami, Atlanta, Buffalo, at Tampa, Carolina, Kansas City, Denver, New Orleans, the Chargers, and New England.
So you're saying probably 3-2 to about 5-11 real quick?
Only
so I think their schedule
mixed in there.
Right. Yeah, so their schedule now turns. And let's be realistic. This is they've outkicked their coverage, if you will. They've played great for Todd Bowles. Josh McCown has been a nice steadying force. Jermaine Kearse was a great trade. Really paid dividends. How about Austin Seferian-Jenkins?
Yeah,
and what this kid has done for himself.
Looks like
that's
part of the
awesome.
Future.
Awesome stuff. Their offensive line is playing pretty good. But now it's going to get a little bit more dicey, that's for sure,
big
the next
time.
11 weeks.
And they get the win yesterday. They were nearly doubled in total yards. They did win the game 17-14, and Todd Bowles, though, still pumping the brakes.
We haven't done anything. We won three games. Three out of five. We got 11 to play.
And so, sounds like he's been looking at that schedule that Boomer just ran down for you.
He's right.
His defense forced three turnovers, two of them with Cleveland in the red zone. Browns kicker Zane Gonzalez, 0-for-2 on field goal attempts. Boomer mentioned Kaiser getting benched at the half. Satisfaction for McCown. He only won one game as a starter in his two seasons with the Browns.
It took me 3 years and two teams, but daggum it, I got me a win in First Energy.
It'd be the stadium there in Cleveland. It's also his first three-game winning streak as a starter.
Yeah.
He's been in the league since 2002.
That's crazy.
So amazingly
daggum
enough.
Got my mom win.
3-2 Jets host the 3-2 Patriots in Week 6, first place in the AFC East on the line. Running down the rest of Sunday's action, 5-0 Chiefs outlast the Texans last night, 42-34. Wild game. Alex Smith, 3 TD passes. Tyreek Hill had a punt return score. Kansas City overcoming 5 Deshaun Watson touchdown passes.
They're fun. What do you mean? Deshaun Watson didn't have 5 touchdown passes last night. What are you talking about?
I thought he did, no?
What the hell was that?
I heard that as well.
I mean, what is that? He didn't have five touchdown passes.
He had like five completions last night.
I could have swore he had 4
Deshaun
or 5.
Deshaun Watson was 16 of 31 with 5 touchdowns.
Thank you.
Did he have 5 touchdown passes last night?
What the hell is that?
Well, I went to bed then.
Do I get an apology?
I am sorry. And he had 5 touchdown passes
last
night?
You got me nervous there. I'm like, what? I mean, I was up watching it.
Holy crap.
So he has 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks?
That's correct.
Yes, he does, yes.
But they lost one of the games. I mean, look, some of it was late.
And he accounted for 5 last week.
Let's be honest. Yes, 4 and he ran 1 in. Some of it was late window dressing. Like, they scored as time expired and got a 2-point conversion. But he had 2 to Hopkins, 2 to Will Fuller.
Wow, they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I mean, the game was in hand. But the point is, it was wild. It was back and forth, up and down the field. And obviously, you had the unfortunate injuries for Houston, J.J. Watt, and Whitney Merciless, potential season enders. Watt's the tibial plateau fracture, which apparently is worse than a torn ACL. I mean, the details are gruesome.
Plus, they're actually going to look at his knee, too, to see whether or not there is an ACL or an MCL
right in that area, yeah. And the crazy thing on the Chiefs, by the way, this blew my mind. So, first game of the season, opening night, Thursday night against the Patriots in Foxborough, Kareem Hunt puts the ball on the ground. He fumbles. He'd never fumbled in college. They have not turned the ball over once since that
play. Mind blown.
Come on, man. That's impressive.
One thing I will say is, how much fun are they to watch? They're all a bunch of Smurfs running all over the place, from Tyreek Hill running back punts and everything else. And I mean, they got like 4 or 5 guys that basically have blazing speed.
Yes.
All right, we got to go.
Okay.
More football next hour, though, because it was a busy, busy day.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, mornings 6 to 10 on The Fan.
So the Yankees win. The New York Giants not only lose, but they basically lose
everybody.
4 significant players. If you're considering Dwayne Harris one of those significant players, which I do.
I think
he's a terrific special teams guy, and he was here. He was brought here for a reason, and he's basically paid dividends, and now he's going to be out. You got Odell Beckham out for the year. No word on Sterling Shepard and Brandon Marshall, how significant their injuries
are. Terrell Owens tweeted he's available.
Yeah, I said that yesterday on NFL
Today. By the
way,
I would love to see that. Just as a football fan, to see if he could still, and I'm sure he probably still could do it.
Could you imagine him after a game with Eli Manning? That's my quarterback. Oh, my God. And then, of course, the Rangers finally get on win last night. They win the Montreal Canadiens 2-0.
Right.
It's just awful.
Yeah, okay, great. By the way, we also got a football coach in the NFL doing cocaine. We got to get to that at some point.
For the Miami Dolphins.
I mean,
yeah,
you talk
Jesus,
about
unbelievable.
Guy, wake up, and then some great finishes and all that stuff.
Well, maybe
stuff,
he was
too,
trying to wake up. You never know. Let's go to Eric in Woodbridge. Eric, what's happening, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
Doing great, Jerry. You're an excellent addition. Boomer, I definitely agree with you about, you know, Boo and Girardi was classless. The guy's got us here. He's a class act all the way. He never throws anybody under the bus. And to be honest, looking at the replay, I'm not so sure that the refs would have overturned the call. It was very close. It was hard to tell. But, you know, I think he kind of overused the bullpen a little bit 2 days before that.
Oh, he had to.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with questioning your manager. Of course, I expect fans to do that. But I didn't expect what I saw last night. And even Joe after the game said, I had to tell my family, just be ready for this. And I can imagine the Joe's Girardi inner circle, the supporters of Joe and everything that he's tried to do here as the Yankee manager, probably were just mortified last night.
He looked in the post-game press conference, he looked about as emotionally spent as I think I've ever seen him. I mean, he looked like a mess.
Right. Let's go to Dougie in Morganville. Dougie, what's happening?
Hey, Boom. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm a Met fan, so we'll give you Cespedes and Harvey, and we'll take the
Well, two things. Dougie, I'm with you, man. I'd love to have Joe Girardi as a manager, but, you know, first of all, he's probably going to be too expensive if, in fact, he is no longer the Yankee manager. And number two, I would probably put my money on Brad Ausmus as the Met manager. That's what I would do. Let's go to, let's go to Freddie in Staten Island. Freddie, what's happening?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. What's going on?
Great job, Jerry. I'm glad for you.
Listen,
guys, you watch the game with your eyes a lot, and there seemed to be enough doubt about whether that ball hit the batter or not. Did you ever see any indication by the batter that he was hit by the pitch?
Not really.
That's a natural reaction.
Right, and that was Headley's point, and certainly that was Gary Sanchez's point. And you got 30 seconds to make a decision and call for a replay. The only thing that I would say, Freddie, is this. Because you have two replay challenges and because it was such a significant play in the game, Joe Girardi should have just said, hey, challenge it.
Just
right then and there, just say challenge it. So I'm with everybody with the fact that he didn't challenge it and he should have. But even he said yesterday that, you know, he screwed up. And he recognized that he screwed up. And he even made it worse by his post-game press conference and his comments in regard to that particular play.
Everything surrounding it.
So that made it even worse. But at the end of the day, they won yesterday. They got another game today. And you got your ace on the mound. And hopefully your ace learned from his initial performance against the Minnesota Twins. And we'll go out there and give you 7 to 8 innings today.
You better hope so.
Thank you, guys.
I'll tell you one thing, too. Had they not won last night, I think you could make every case that the Yankees might have walked away. And they still could, I guess, if something happened tonight. But had what transpired on Friday transpired, had they lost last night and got swept, his contract's up. It's not like
they're firing him, they wouldn't renew him. I get it.
It's very possible that they could have today, tomorrow, next day, decided to move in a different direction.
You know, George Steinbrenner's not there. If George Steinbrenner, I don't want to put words in George Steinbrenner's mouth, but you know, he's reactionary. He was emotional. Would he have said, "Hey, I don't need you to come back"? I could understand, and I don't want I don't want to put words in. Somebody who's no longer with us in his mouth because I don't know exactly how he'd act because internally. I got to believe that when they look at Joe Girardi, they see a guy that's got, you know, like Yankee through and through. You know what I mean? He's been here for a long time, played for them for 4 years, was an announcer on Yes. I mean, this is a guy who knows all about the Yankee history. And for me, the way that he handled the team this year.
Boomer, I'm with you. But what I'm saying is you hear the outcry from the fans. I'm telling you, listening to this radio station Friday night
and Saturday. Yeah, but those are all the detractors and those people are coming in. Like
the fact of the matter is, though, that was a game that was there to be had, that was in their hand.
I know.
He blew it. Had they lost last night? That's why I think last night was such a big win for this team. It showed the bounce back, the resiliency. He got what he needed out of his starting pitcher. He got the big hit from a kid that he stuck with in a spot that I didn't think he should have stuck with him.
You know, and I know. That if they lose this series, it's going to go back to that game two Friday night in Cleveland. It's going to be referred to as Joe Girardi Midnight.
But it always will. But the fact that they won last night does erase a little bit of it. I do believe
brutal.
That.
Brutal. Let's go to James in Woodhaven. James, what's happening?
Boomer and Echo. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, James. Jim. What's going on?
Happy Monday to you. Two things I'd like to point out. Number one, Yankee fans need to stop bitching and moaning about what's going on and what happened Friday night. You're still in the playoffs. You still got a good chance. Go out there and do your job and win the game. Number two, I've called up every Monday expecting and wanting the Jets to lose on Sunday. And now we're on the battle for first place, baby. Come on, man.
That's great.
Good for you, James. Good for you. That's funny. By the way,
it's a weird thing. Who would have thought that the Giants now would be in the tanking situation?
Nobody.
As opposed to the Jets. Could you?
Nobody.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't want to try to like predict this, but I'll give you a hypothetical. No. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Let's say the Giants end up with one of the first two picks.
Come on. You got to be kidding
Which
me.
Is a, they have a very good chance of doing
right
that,
now,
especially
sure.
with the way their defense is played, because they can't cover a back
they
out of the backfield.
There was even yesterday with Melvin, what's
Gordon,
his name?
Melvin Gordon.
I mean, can we stop with the shoulder attempts and tackle somebody?
Again, with the missed tackles.
Oh, my God. But they also gave it another 10 yards yesterday.
I felt bad for Goodson and the other linebacker that were covering Melvin Gordon out of the backfield.
Okay.
There's just no way they could cover that guy. And Steve Spagnuolo basically asked them to cover him, and he was wide open for two touchdowns, easy touchdown passes by Philip Rivers. But my point being, if they have the first or second draft choice, could you imagine, much to the chagrin of the Jet fan,
if the Giants get the quarterback
that the Jet fan wants?
Yeah, I could.
Oh, my God.
At 0-5 and looking what's ahead, I could imagine that, yes.
Because I talked to Joe Beningo on Friday, and I'm like, Joe, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you want your team to win.
He's fired up,
That's
actually.
That's great.
Yes.
You know, now they're 3-2, and yeah, the whole game is going to – the whole season is going to hinge on this one game against the Patriots.
The Jets will end up being far better than expected and not get the quarterback. Josh McCown will play well and play the entire season. They still won't know anything about Petty or Hackenberg, and the Giants will end up with the top pick.
Crazy. Let's go to Robbie at Rockland. Robbie, what's happening?
Yeah, Boomer, man. Come on with the Joe crying for Joe Girardi, everything he had to deal with the Eagles. I mean, listen, man, he blew a call. Yankee fans are all over him. You know, they win the series, it'll be, you know, much to do about nothing. And as far as the Mets and the Giants being like the Mets, listen, dude, the Mets, there was reason for them to think that they were going to a World Series. There was no reason for the Giants fans or Giants to be thinking that they were doing anything this year.
Why is that? They went 11-5 last year. They had a top-five defense. Everybody was back. You figured they'd be better. They added Brandon Marshall and Evan Ingram to the offense. This kid, yeah, Gallman, looks like a real deal. And you're thinking that, man, they're all going to take the next step and they're going to go. So what do you mean there were no expectations? There were a ton of expectations.
There weren't championship expectations.
Yes, there was.
And secondly,
they were Super Bowl expectations.
Unlike the Mets that were decimated from the outside.
Rob, people had the Giants in the Super Bowl.
They were 0-4 in garbage before everybody started going down.
What?
They were 0-4 in garbage before everybody started going down, is what he said. I'm just saying right now they look a lot like the Mets do.
Yeah,
they're a quarter of the way into the season and half, you know, and pretty much their entire wide receiver group is gone.
Brandon Marshall went there. Why? Because he had a great chance to win a Super Bowl. He even said when asked about the playoffs, like, playoffs, says, I'm not here for the playoffs. I'm here to win a championship. Right now, how about this? Win a game. Let's start there. I mean, that's where they're at. So the expectation was a Super Bowl. It was not to go finish 8-8 and be average, let alone 0-5 to start the season.
Listen, you and I both started this NFL season with the thought process that they were a top three team in the NFC.
Yeah, and specifically defensively, they were going to be top five.
Yeah, but they added Ingram and they added Marshall.
Yes, I'm aware.
I think about that.
And they are terrible.
Well, they're terrible, and now they're even going to be worse. Why? Because all these guys are hurt, and the best player at his position in the NFL is done for the year.
Who would have thought the Yankees be playing meaningful games further along than the Giants would be? Seriously. I mean, the Yankees right now are in October playing meaningful playoff baseball games, and the Giants season is in the toilet right now.
Pretty
it's
simple.
It's unbelievable.
Pretty
it
simple,
really
Jimmy. That's why they play the game.
This is why they play the game, Jimmy.
That's right.
I'm well aware.
All right, okay. It's 7:16 on the Fan. Company from the Investors Bank Studios here at WFAN. It's Boomer and Jerry in the morning. It's a Monday morning. A lot of people have off on this Columbus Day. You did not what?
What's that?
Were you talking to me?
Some people are pointing out your mistakes, and they asked me if I caught it. I said I didn't.
What did I say now?
Well, I know you're tired, but you're calling me JB. That was yesterday. Today I would be JR.
All right.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
We have the Miami Dolphin coach in the video, which is, oh boy, I mean, wow. In the end of it's the worst.
Looks like he was having a good time, though.
Oh, he was having a good time. Hey, he seemed kind of...
I'm trying
pathetic,
to think, like,
actually.
Who took, you know, who took the video of him?
He did. Yeah. It looks like
the
he stood
video.
The phone right
that
on the
That was a
desk.
Selfie video.
Yes. No question about
and
it.
And then
yes.
He wanted to
100%.
Send it to his, I guess he'd call her his girlfriend, I suppose.
Okay.
And then she puts on Facebook, hey, NFL fans, here's your coaches.
Taking selfies.
And then.
Guess they had a fallout.
Apparently so.
Oh, wow.
And the, I mean, sexed me again.
Yeah, okay.
Not safe for the air. I'll just say, if you're interested, go watch the video. It's
out there,
just,
yes.
I mean,
we
this
really
guy,
can't play any of it. No.
And the Dolphins, this is the best part that I don't understand. We're aware of the video. It's him. No comment. How about this? You're fired.
Well, what? Yes, I think they wanted to confirm when it took place. I know what you're
Does
saying.
Does it no matter?
Yeah, I understand.
Soon.
Have we seen worse?
See ya.
Have we seen worse?
Perhaps.
Guys, what happened in the past. So
if you're,
I'm not defending it.
But if you're a Giant fan or a Jet fan and that's your offensive line coach, I don't care if it was 3 years ago, you can't have that.
I guess they feel like they got to do their due diligence, sure legally they do the right thing.
This is almost like shooting yourself in the thigh. I mean, basically, it was a self-inflicted wound, if you will.
His nose is
pretty
what
much.
He took a selfie and then sent it to somebody.
It's a video. Yeah. It's not even like it was just a picture.
It's a selfie video.
It's a 1 minute video, and the things he says on it are just. Just, yeah. Dude, get out.
Shenanigans?
He had a little too much faith in his, whatever you want to call
in
it.
In her.
Oh, he must have had a real low point moment or something.
Mm.
All right, CeeLo, what do you got
pregnancy's
for an update?
Pregnancy's involved. The whole thing
is
bad.
It's not good. Brought to you by the new...
What?
I said it looks like she's pregnant.
Oh.
That's what he's intimating.
Says something about keeping a baby.
Correct.
And I don't know when we'll see each other again, but we had so much fun.
I'm telling you, you have to watch it. It's not good. All right,
that's
Chris.
That's the censored version.
Holy crap.
Wow, I am pregnant.
All right.
Bing, bang, boom. That's right, Jerry.
Brought to you by the new Bobby V's Restaurant and Sports Bar and Winners Stanford. Visit BobbyV'sRestaurant.com for more info. Without this, the Greg Bird homer isn't nearly as dramatic. It may not have mattered much.
And the pitch swung on and hit in the air to right field. Judge going back. He's on the track. He's near the wall, and he makes the catch. In fact, he stole a home run from Lindor.
Serves him right. We need another home run out of that guy. Enough with him already.
You know, John Sterling. That ball was completely out of the strike zone. He went down, he golfed at it, and had a one-handed, one-arm swing.
And he came very close.
And it almost knocked it out.
And what's funny is when Carlos Santana ends the game, I thought that thing was out.
Yes.
I thought that was a home run, and oh my God, here
well
we go.
Struck.
And yeah, and the little poke shot is the one that almost went out.
Yep, and that was the closest Masahiro Tanaka came to allowing any runs last night. Would have been a two-run shot in the sixth. Instead, game remained scoreless, and Bird's second deck blast off Andrew Miller in the seventh provided the winning margin as the Yankees blanked the Indians at the stadium last night, 1-0. Judge 0-10, 8 Ks at the plate in the series, but still contributing for Joe Girardi.
A great catch. Ends up saving the game. Again, I've said all along about Aaron Judge, he's a complete player.
Meantime, a huge moment for Bird, finally showing what he can do now that he's healthy and showing some emotion with the big homer. What brought that out for a normally reserved player?
I mean, plain and simple, I'm not ready to be done playing, and I don't think the rest of the team is.
Judge and CC Sabathia nearly fell over the dugout fence watching that ball leave the bat.
He was showing emotion. This is the playoffs. You know, people show emotion, people get excited, and I could barely hold my emotion. I was about to throw him around the dugout. It was pretty crazy.
You wanted to throw him around the dugout. Good. I love
and
that.
He could, probably.
I'll tell you, Bird ran around the bases pretty quickly, too. Did you see him go into the dugout with that angry face of his?
First
everything?
Thing I said, don't get hurt.
Yes.
Because they're in there, you know, with the bicep blast.
No,
tearing
ACL, jumping
stuff.
Up and down or
just
something.
Just anything.
In the dugout.
You know, God knows he's had enough medical issues.
Matter of fact,
here.
The only home run I ever hit, and I'm not even kidding, was in, I think, my junior year of high school. And in the dugout, jumping up and down, I tore my Achilles.
Come on, man.
Swear to God.
You're one of these injury-prone guys, aren't you?
Yes. My spikes, they were metal spikes at the time, slipped, and I tore my Achilles.
This guy, torn Achilles. Right now, you've got all kinds of weird, crazy
stuff going
on. You're
talking about his bursa sac bursting or something.
Yeah,
yes, I went to the doctor yesterday.
Geez. Yeah,
yes.
He had a bursa sac burst, Al.
Sac burst.
Now, where is that exactly?
Above the knee.
The bursa sac?
Yes, above the knee, yes.
And it bursts, and what happens?
Well, I don't know that it burst, but there was leakage.
Huge sack.
That's probably
internal leakage?
Well,
or
these kids came at the right time.
Was there a leakage? Was there a leakage?
And so, well, no, I woke up yesterday, and above the knee was throbbing.
Come on.
I'm serious. And then I noticed about an hour later, it was swollen.
You are falling apart.
Eddie's going to have a field day with these.
Yes.
And so I was worried that I was going to have a blood clot and have a stroke, so I went to one of those 24-hour places.
Jeez.
Right. Well, did they lance it? Did they lance it right
no,
away?
It was, no, it was Advil and ice.
All right.
So you had that thing grow in your face. Maybe it moved to your knee.
Just right down to above the knee,
got
yes.
a creature living
right,
in
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
How about tough day. How about Tanaka? Day. 7 innings of 3-hit ball, struck out 7. Girardi called it his best start of the year. Tanaka gushing confidence after this one.
We're going to take tomorrow. We're going to come back strong. And then we're going to force game 5. And then, you know, move on to the next stage.
Interpreter Shingo Horii. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a guy who just had a great game. Knows that he's not involved in today's game and
right.
guaranteed it for his team.
Locked it up.
Pretty much.
We're
locked
win.
It up. Good.
He can just watch.
A lot
By
of
the
confidence
way, I fully expect
arena.
Them. I don't know if they'll win the game tonight, but I fully expect them to hit Bauer this time. On
oh, yeah?
short rest, I do. On short rest, he can't be as sharp as he was.
We'll
could
get
he?
To that in a minute.
Yeah, and I don't know
we'll
what's going to happen today with the weather and all that stuff and whether
rest.
Or not it's going to impact
no
batting practice before the game or anything. But if I were the Yankees and I know now that I'm facing Bauer, whoever is pitching batting practice should just throw nothing but curveballs, right?
I suppose I don't know that they'll have the bite
like
that those
yeah.
have.
No one's got the Uncle Charlie there in the batting
the
practice.
The Uncle Charlie,
yeah.
I like
That's
it,
right.
yes.
Aroldis Chapman comes up huge again. 5-out save, 4 strikeouts on 34 pitches. So Girardi's pitching decisions work out in this one. 2 nights after the disaster, that was game 2. He, of course, was booed by the Yankee fans during pregame intros. Wasn't surprised, though.
You know, I was prepared for it. I prepared my family for it. I told my kids what was going to happen. But it's life.
And his team bounced back for him in this one.
That's all part of it. But you get the good side of it, too. Like tonight, the emotion Tuesday against Minnesota. So that's the trade-off.
He was really good post-game. A lot of good stuff from him last night.
Would you agree he looked emotionally spent?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, God knows he's been through it over the course of the last 48 hours.
I will say this
so.
About his performance last night as manager. He didn't let anything get in his way. He knew what the hell he was going to do, and he was going to do it. And if Robertson put a guy on, he was taking him out and putting Chapman in. He like was not in any way, shape, or form that I think impacted from him doing his job.
And going to Robertson to begin with, because there were a lot of people who were like, hey, Tanaka's throwing great. Let him start the inning and see what happens. And he took him right out, goes to Robertson, quick hook there, and now Chapman gets you the five
What
out.
Was his pitch count at that point?
I think
he
was
96,
92,
I think.
92?
92
yeah, it was in the 90s,
seven.
Yeah.
So you could absolutely kept him
and,
in there.
And to Girardi's credit, by the way, they asked Tanaka about that after the game. And he said, my breaking stuff was starting to slip a little. I think he pulled me at the right time.
It's interesting because that seventh inning was a 1-2-3 inning.
Actually, there's a good guy right there that actually said the right thing at the right time and took the heat off his manager.
Yep. Luis Severino opposed by Trevor Bauer tonight. 7:08 first pitch. Pregame coverage on the Fan, 6:25. And as Jerry mentioned, Bauer coming back on 3 days rest after that dominant performance in game one. Doesn't sound too worried about it, though.
I consider this normal rest for me. I enjoy pitching on short, I guess, what technical definition of short. But if I could draw it up personally, this is how I'd pitch every time.
So he's like, is what I normally want to do. Well, I don't know about better, but he doesn't seem to be worried about it. By the way, Indians suffer a shutout loss for the first time since July 14th against the A's. That was their first game out of the All-Star break before they went on the crazy hot streak. Any idea who the Oakland starter was?
Sonny Gray. Can I ask you a question?
Nice job, Boomer.
You're welcome.
Sports Minute coming up.
No. when was the last time the Indians lost back-to-back games?
Oh, boy. That'll have to effort for you.
And when was the last time they lost three games in a row?
Probably been quite a while.
Quite a while.
If you want to have an awkward silence, I can look it up right now.
No,
or we
right.
could
yeah,
save that for next hour.
By the way,
just Google it.
For poops and giggles, it would be awesome to get a game five with Kluber back on the mound. Yeah. That would be pretty cool. Whether they're going to win, lose, whatever, that'd be fun. Don't you agree?
Yes, that would be fun.
Now, who will Girardi start in that game?
It better not be Sonny Gray.
Well, it's either him or CeCe.
Yeah, I would. Well, what would be the rest for CeCe, though? He pitched Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday,
Two.
I would go CeCe. Right.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if he goes CeCe because you took him out of the previous game early? And
no, shut up! No, 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 no! You can't shut up!
No,
you can't do that! You can't do that!
What do you mean I can't?
Now you're twisting a story to fit your mold. No good.
That's what everybody does.
He should not have come out of the game Friday night. And
I'm
the Yankees
vice president.
Went into
I'm
last
going to a football game.
1-1.
I'm going to go watch a team that I know has guys that kneel, and I'm going to leave.
It's a hell of a transition.
But I'm just saying, it's just like that's how these things work.
There's the left turn. Yes.
Whatever argument you want to craft or create,
well, you
did
can.
It. Yes.
Red Sox love to see another game as well. Dug out of an early 3-0 deficit with an assist to Mookie Betts' defense in right field. Rafael Devers go-ahead 2-run homer in the third. He drove in 3. Hanley Ramirez 4-for-4 with 3 ribbies. Jackie Bradley Jr. 3-run homer. And David Price 4 scoreless out of the bullpen. Red Sox win at Fenway yesterday 10-3. You got Rick Porcello against Charlie Morton in game 4 at 1 o'clock today. First of 4 playoff games. Of course, we know about the Yankees and the Indians. You've also got the Nats and the Cubs tied at 1 as that series shifts to Wrigley. And the Dodgers leading the Diamondbacks 2-0 as they move on to Arizona.
Two quickies. Yes. Boston beat Cleveland back-to-back games August 22 and 23.
Okay.
And you mentioned the Dodgers. Have you seen the Yasiel Puig bat flip on the single the other night, which was awesome?
Just him, period, right now in the series.
He's
great.
He's having a blast.
And they're up 2-0.
Wagging his tongue at sliding into third base in game one the other night, and he's having a good time. Now to the football, and this was moments after the Giants watch Odell Beckham Jr. go down with a gruesome-looking ankle injury.
Back to throw. Feels pressure. He's going to get sacked. Ball came out. Loose on the ground. They race for it, and it looks like the Chargers have it at the 11. They
that
do.
Was bad.
Bob Papa here on the fan. It was,
that was
bad.
Ugly.
No, I told you that they have two great pass rushers, Ingram and Bosa, and they were going
Bosa
at
had
pretty
a good,
good
day too. A little
but
bit.
But Ingram this time did not come around the end. This is a twist stunt, and the guards and center in the middle have got to pick this thing up. It's like a basic stunt that you normally handle.
Did you see Rodney Harrison go after Eric Flowers?
You call him like.
He said it's
so bad
he doesn't deserve to be on an NFL roster. Yeah. That's how poorly he's playing. Yeah. That's rough.
I think Sean O'Hara ripped into him during the week as
he
well.
Did. No, he did. He just said he's not.
So if they
Sean was pretty significant, and I would take Sean's take on it more than I would.
Well, certainly.
you know, Rodney, because they play different position. Yeah. He knows the position. He knows the people. He knows what goes on there to be successful.
Interesting.
So that strip sack set up Melvin Gordon's second TD catch of the game. It was the game winner for the Chargers. They come east to MetLife Stadium, get their first victory, beat the Giants 27-22. Ben McAdoo's team now 0-5, and that headline somewhat buried, though, because of this math.
We had three ankles and a foot.
Losing four wide receivers along the way, Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and Brandon Marshall with the ankles. For Beckham, it's a fracture that could require surgery, his season in doubt. Dwayne Harris fractured his foot. Eli Manning left to pick up the pieces.
No, it's not the ideal, but I thought the guys did a good job, knowing what to do.
Didn't prevent him from committing those two costly turnovers down the stretch. Now, what now?
Yeah, I think that's the case. We got 11 more games, and we're gonna keep working hard, and the only way to feel better about things is to get a win.
So we await final word on Beckham.
I don't know what else to say. It's just a tough deal for him. And I would just say this in regards to Odell Beckham. Both injuries occurred on balls that were inaccurately thrown. They were both high. Both times Odell Beckham Jr. had to go up and get them, one in Cleveland in the preseason, then yesterday. And immediately, as soon as Odell Beckham Jr. got hit, the opposing team, the San Diego Chargers, knew that. So I don't know if he let out a yell or whatever.
He was crying his eyes out.
Or they heard a break.
The Chargers were.
That's
Giants,
what I'm saying.
I know, but it was like, were the Giants not, were they aware?
Well, the Chargers were the ones that were all running at him.
I know.
In fairness, because this is the second time you're putting the blame on Eli for the most part. I mean, we see these throws every game, every Sunday across the league. I mean, I watched several games yesterday. There are balls thrown this way, that way, up here, low, wide. That's not unique to the game. I mean, that happens in every game.
I'll just tell you that both injuries happened with balls that were thrown high.
All right, fine.
That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. But, I mean, the first one, the guy goes low to make the tackle, which wide receivers say, please don't go low. And yesterday, maybe he put it in the spot that he's the only guy that could catch it. We see balls go high all the time, don't we? No? Hello?
I'm just telling
anything?
You. I know where the receivers want the ball. I'm just telling you.
Listen, everybody would like the ball hit right here. It ain't that easy. You know that better than anybody. You never put your wide receiver at risk by throwing a ball
I'm
high?
I'm not saying I never did that, and you don't do it on purpose, of course, but I'm just saying two cases that Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt this year, they were on balls that were inaccurately thrown. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I don't know what we do with that, though. Hmm.
You do whatever you want with it. Just stick it where the sun don't shine. I don't care.
But it sounds like you're blaming him for the broken ankle.
I'm just telling you that there were two inaccurate balls thrown to Odell Beckham Jr., one in preseason and one yesterday, and both of them basically resulted in injuries to the wide receiver.
And so, Eli, no more high balls.
Well, nobody wants high balls.
Right. They can't be low. They can't be high. They got to be perfect. Well, they're not
going to
be perfect.
Oh, no, they can be low. Low, I think the receiver would much rather have them low than they would have them high.
Low balls instead of high balls.
Believe me, when I first started in 1984, I threw about 15 balls to Chris Collinsworth. And, I mean, I exposed him every which way. I mean, he got hit, and I had to send a masseuse to his house the next day. It was so bad. And I apologized to him. I said, man, I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm just throwing the ball to you. That's all I know.
He didn't come up to you and give you the business or anything?
No, he just said,
it upon yourself?
Balls were all over the place.
They were all over the place.
Sending a masseuse. That's
yes,
a nice move.
Exactly.
Your balls would be down in the dirt.
Oh, okay.
Right, exactly.
The Jets have won three in a row.
Balls in the dirt. Right. How about Gary Sanchez last night?
I'm glad
he was good.
In the fourth inning, I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
He blocked four, five, or six balls
in the dirt
with Jason Kipnis on third base where the go-ahead run would have scored.
I actually saw you tweet that last night. I was proud of you. So what was the reaction from Yankee fans that hate Gary Sanchez behind the plate?
That's a little strong.
I don't know that that's strong. I think that's about
right. No, but
right.
See, now
that is about right.
No, because you're taking a select group of people and now painting all Yankee fans.
Well, he said Yankee fans
as if that's the majority or something.
I don't know. I heard, 48,000 fans booing last night.
They boo Jeter. They boo Joe Torre. They boo everyone.
Why? Why are you guys booing all those guys?
They boo Judge this year when he was in the slump. That's what they
do. It's unbelievable, man.
I got a couple hundred hearts.
You did?
100 hearts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever they are. 184 to be exact.
Did Aroldis Chapman like it?
Aroldis Chapman did not call Gary Sanchez an imbecile.
No, he didn't. Okay.
Did not.
Enough, apparently. Right. The Correct. Jets have won three in a row, went to Cleveland, outlasted the Browns, 17-14. Josh McCown, 2 second-half TD passes to Austin Seferian-Jenkins and Jermaine Kearse. The latter capped a 97-yard drive.
It's a unified group in there, and there's power in that, and we can do a lot when we're together.
And in this one,
we got McCown, Count. We got McCown, Count.
Sounds like you got a cold there, Al.
Much younger.
A little nasally.
A little nasally there.
Yes.
I'm going to expose myself. What song is that even to?
That's Bruce Springsteen, is it not?
It is.
Which Bruce Springsteen song?
I'm going down.
I'm going down.
I don't know that one. Sorry.
Okay.
Born I like Springsteen. I don't know that one, though.
That's fine.
All That's right. fair. It only sold 35 million copies.
Yeah, right.
The song or the album? There's two different
the
things.
Album.
Jeez. What year did that album come out in,
1984.
Yeah,
there you
I
go.
Wasn't born yet,
back
so calm down.
Well, did you ever hear the Beatles?
Yeah, again, I've heard of Bruce Springsteen. I've been to...
The song Yesterday, fantastic. Right, you should check it out
relax.
One day.
I went to MetLife and saw Bruce last year. He didn't sing that song at the concert.
Well, that's your fault. Well, I can't
he
help
did,
you.
He was on for like 3 hours. He did 30 songs. That didn't make the set list. So, you know.
It was right. one of the only concerts I ever left because he was doing, I don't know what the hell he was singing.
Wouldn't that be great riff. If
you
showed
left
up at a Bruce
early?
I did.
So you can't do that.
I had to. I couldn't take it anymore.
Wouldn't it be great if you showed up at one of his concerts and you heard this?
Hello.
The McCown.
We got McCown, Cown, Cown, Cown. We got McCown, Cown, Cown, Cown. We got McCown, Cown, Cown, Cown. We got McCown, Cown, Cown, Cown.
Come on!
Soon.
Right as I was about to kill him for your creativity with the lyrics.
I just say, really how long did it take you to write that one? Yeah,
that one took me a little while.
Yeah, I bet it did. Jesus. Where the heck
hey,
are we?
Hey, before you go, do you have the, and nobody cares, the McCown, that was good. We're
great.
Done. Do you have the Green Bay call of the game-winning touchdown?
I'll get it for you next hour. How's that?
So that's a no. Got it.
I mean, if you
no,
give me
cool.
if you give
that's
me
fine.
A couple seconds,
asking.
I can find it. Do I have it loaded here? No, I do not.
No, it's fine.
So, if you would like to move on, I will play for you
Jerry,
next
Jerry Recco has turned into. He's turned into Craig Carton.
Wow, that was really like
the update guy.
Right, mocking him for not having
that
something that you
true.
Didn't even
yes,
warn him
is.
About. Yeah,
that
it is.
Is not true.
It's totally
so
true.
Snarky. It's
that
not
is
funny.
Not.
I tell you, there's
well,
some people on Twitter
douchery.
That are getting after him for that.
Douchery.
Douchery.
It is not. Douchery. That's not true. I honestly thought you had that ready to go.
Why would you think that?
Yeah, but then you snarkily said, oh, you don't have it.
You allowed me to give one out-of-town NFL score so far. One.
Well, that's not true. It's because it's taken long. That's why I said before wrap up with the Jets. Last hour we had to go because it was 43. Right
all
now
right.
it's about 43. And now
we
have
it. From
yeah.
the Douchery. Bank studio. Thank you, boys.
I got it, Eddie.
You guys could argue out there in the bullpen if you'd like.
And Boomer doesn't like that.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, mornings 6 to 10 on The Fan.
No, my back hurts. I'm stretching out the back.
Your back
That's
hurts,
all.
Captain Morgan.
I'm
Boomer's
good.
Swinging a bat.
You
a lot
got a
going on
problem
here.
In
burst
your knee.
Sack.
Yes, I have bursitis down the right
God,
side of my leg.
God, you're a mess.
I agree. Unbelievable. I am falling apart. I agree.
You got the gout?
I do not have the gout. I know Joe has the gout.
Yet?
Joe has the gout.
Joe has had the gout. I have not gotten the gout.
Yet, as in like you're anticipating it coming along at some point.
Let me tell you, every day I wake up, something else hurts. Above the knee was throbbing.
Every day I wake up as a gift, bro.
I actually think I had the gout.
You did have the gout.
I had a bout of the gout.
A bout of the gout.
Yeah,
you
know
sure?
why? Because when I hurt my groin, right, I went on anti-inflammatories.
It
How are you guys
up?
Getting
then,
hurt all the time?
And then when went on those anti-inflammatories, it kind of backed me up.
No,
and then
was,
I went
was
to go
a rough
play
week.
At a
Pat
member
McGroin!
Guest. Yeah, at a member's guest.
Is that why
That's
this
exact,
is here?
At Metamucil Works, I'm telling you.
Poopy.
There you go. So, I just went in a member guest, and I was eating all this rich food, drinking all this beer and all that other stuff. And I woke up one morning, and my
Make
right
poop.
Toe was, like, swollen and so painful. Mm. And the doc said, yeah, you got the gout.
Wow. So, now, Joe can't – there are certain things he can't eat or drink,
yeah,
and the gout returns.
Because it's the uric acid. You got to be careful with red wine and meats and really rich food, things of that nature.
Things you eat.
But as long as you're going to the bathroom correctly, I think that would be a big, you know, thing that would help
Make
you.
Poop. Yeah, I got it.
Yes, thank
Gross.
You.
I don't
Thanks,
think I've Jerry. Ever seen Joe eat anything in the 10 years I've worked here.
Because he's got the gout. He stopped eating. Seriously, he stopped eating.
It's very painful. Yes. Very, very painful.
There are
I'll tell you, I'm really looking
touch.
Forward to getting old. It sounds wonderful.
I mean, I'm 43. I don't think I'm old.
Well, you're older than I am.
I am older,
so,
yes.
You basically got to watch what you eat. You got to, you know, there's also drugs you can take for it, but, you know, I don't like to do that kind
no.
of stuff. So just a couple anti-inflammatories, get rid of it, watch what you eat, and you're good.
Keep the extra weight off.
And you're fine.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's all about steaks, stogies, models, and bottles.
That's what I'm talking about.
Unbelievable.
Good. Go ahead, Chris.
Right
I woke
you.
Up yesterday,
oh,
and it was swollen.
It was.
Morning wood.
Oh,
okay.
And,
all right, boys.
Fittingly enough, this hour we are brought to you by Brooklyn Bangers Quality Meats.
There you go.
Visit brooklynbangers.com to find where the best tasting sausages, brats, and kielbasa are sold. Not on the menu for one Joe Beningo. Here is the final call from last night, as Jerry mentioned, and I agree. Off the bat, thought this ball from Carlos Santana was trouble.
Swung on.
A high fly to left. Gardner is there. Gardner and Hicks. Hicks makes the catch. Hicks made the catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees.
Santana ball through John for a bit of a loop there as well, but an out nonetheless. Five out save for Aroldis Chapman. Stranded a pair in the ninth as the Yankees edge the Indians at the stadium 1-0.
Okay, John, and my star of the game, who just got pummeled by Dylan Betances, is Aroldis Chapman along with his great interpreter, Marlon Abreu. What did that feel like coming off the field, sending this game to game? To the game tomorrow.
Just a lot of confusion in the waning moments.
Well, it's bizarre on the field at that point, right?
A lot of emotion, you know, a lot going on.
Yeah, I would say, you know,
Chapman's
when the Yankees,
getting pummeled. Yes. So,
I would say, when the Yankees win a game, like they act like they've never been there before.
All right.
I don't know about that.
Wait a second. The Indians, the Red Sox, and all these teams, when they win now, the outfielders do these dances and these celebrations.
The Red Sox have the best one.
Everyone's doing it, so let's not act like it's just the Yankees.
I'm just saying, I saw them when they won a wild card game, and they popped champagne for that.
They all do it.
And then they won a game last night. Okay, that weren't
they're
they
team.
Supposed
They've
to win?
They've never been there before.
Weren't they supposed to win? I
thought CC Sabathia has never been there
overall,
before.
Aroldis
Chapman's never been there
overall,
before. He's in the freaking
guys.
World Championship.
Wait a second. Sure. Is Chapman running around dancing and doing the stuff?
I don't know what he's doing. He's liking tweets
he
and
got,
all that kind of stuff.
He got pummeled by Bird
because
Bird's never been there before. He's excited.
The young kids
are excited, you know? It was an emotional win. It saw Masahiro Tanaka deliver seven innings, a three-hit ball in a huge spot. He showed some emotion along the way. Big strikeouts, big pitches with runners aboard in the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings. And Greg Bird comes through with that enormous second-deck homer off Andrew Miller in the seventh, providing the game's only run.
I was really excited, I'm not going to lie. But that excitement is for our team and for the guys in there that have been working their butts off all year.
And how did he approach the at-bat against one of the best lefty relievers in the game?
See it and hit it. Like, that's kind of always been my thing.
Pretty easy.
That's what my mom tells me all the time. See it and hit it.
There you go. Mom's the hitting coach.
Oh, his mom. That's great.
Simple. Very nice.
Good for him.
Yes,
for
it
him.
Is good for him. No question. Now, hat tip to Aaron Judge using all 80 of his inches, probably closer to 100 with an outstretched arm, to bring back a Francisco Lindor fly in the sixth. Would have been a two-run homer.
And how about the idea that this guy, this ball Hawk guy is there for the
enough
how
with
does
him.
He do that
let's
though?
Not even
you just, don't find that interesting that he's got
he's
in
very
position
annoying.
For all
he's I, very
I'm
annoying.
Not saying he and is I, or he isn't
so I don't know how he gets himself in position for these things, but he's nuts. But let me ask you this question: what about the one that Aaron Judge misplayed
badly
yes.
into a triple for
what
Jason
do you think about
Kipnis?
That
that was not well played. Should have caught it.
So that was that. So they gave Kipnis a triple.
Yes,
on
they did.
Did not
did.
Give Aaron
no,
Judge.
No, he's in a dead sprint back, and he said after the game, "I didn't think I had a chance at first, but as I got closer, he said I should have caught it. I should have made the play."
Okay, but it did go down as a triple.
It
yes.
did. Yep. And Judge adopting the Boomer Esiason mentality for the rest of this series.
We're still just trying to take everything one out, one pitch at a time. And you know, if we do that over the course of a couple of games, you know, we'll be where we want to be.
There you go. He's,
you
been
go.
Listening.
He's probably
feel
been listening
good about
since
that.
He was a kid.
No question.
Yes.
California kid tuned in out there
100%,
on the West Coast.
100%, yes.
No, no
yeah.
doubt. Hopefully he can figure things out at the plate. He had a great wild card game, but 0 for 10 with 8 Ks against the Indians so far. Good night for Joe Girardi after all the heat he took for his decisions in Game 2. Had to readdress them on the off day and then again before Game 3.
This is life. I mean, this is what happens. You know, everything you do is not going to be perfect.
His moves worked out last night, though. Now he gets to send Luis Severino back out there this evening. Talk about a guy dying for another sniff after only getting one out back on Tuesday against the Twins.
The start that I have wasn't, you know, my best one. So I have the chance, you know, to go over there and try to do my job and, you know, get the team a chance to win.
Opposed by Trevor Bauer, coming back on short rest for Terry Francona. We played the cut for you last hour. Bauer saying he would prefer to pitch on 3 days rest at all times. Look this up on Baseball Reference. According to their data, he's never actually started a game on 3 days rest before his career. If I'm reading that correctly, two days rest once, even 1 day of rest, presumably after a relief appearance,
right.
but never actually on 3 days rest. So keep that in mind for whatever it's worth.
Where's Trevor
Nothing.
Bauer? Get a hold of him.
Yeah,
we'll
unbelievable.
Talk to
him. First pitch tonight, 7:08, weather pending. Looks like the forecast might be clearing up right around 5 o'clock or so. We'll keep an eye on that. Pre-game coverage on The Fan. 6:25. Red Sox live to see another game. They dug themselves out of an early 3-0 deficit. You had Mookie Betts making a big play in right field that kept it a 3-run deficit, and the Red Sox would come back. Rafael Devers, big game. Go-ahead 2-run homer in the third. Hanley Ramirez, 4-for-4, drove in 3. Jackie Bradley Jr., 3-run homer, and David Price, 4 scoreless out of the bullpen. bullpen. Red Sox win it 10-3. They've got Rick Porcello going against Charlie Morton in Game 4 today. That's a 1 o'clock start at Fenway. First of four games. The National League Series are back in action as well. Nationals and Cubs tied at 1 from Wrigley. The Dodgers leading the Diamondbacks 2-0 as that series shifts to Arizona. Now to a depressing day for the Giants, culminating in another loss. They are 0-5 to begin the season.
Allen to the near side left. Rivers gets the snap off just in time. He lobs one right to Gordon underneath again for the touchdown.
Bob Papa, fourth quarter call here on the Fan. Second TD catch of the day for Melvin Gordon. That one set up by Melvin Ingram. Strip sack of Eli Manning, who later threw a pick to end it. Chargers 27, Giants 22 in a matchup of previously winless teams. But the story for Big Blue, four key injuries, each of them to wide receivers. Dwayne Harris, fractured foot. Brandon Marshall and Sterling Shepard, sprained ankles. Odell Beckham Jr., a fractured ankle. Surgery likely. Let's get some reaction from his teammates. Here's Eli.
Looked like he was in some pain, so just don't be thinking about him.
Another nice game for rookie running back Wayne Gallman. Ran for 57 yards, caught 5 passes for 25. Were they deflated by OBJ's departure?
No, and if it does, we need to get past that because. No, it's all about next play. We'll worry about that later.
Roger Lewis stepped in and caught a 29-yard touchdown pass.
It felt good. That's what I'm here for.
The only one left.
Is to make plays, and it felt real good.
Speaking of the only one left, good. They're going to have to bring some guys in this week.
Yes. 100% right? They will, and I'm sure they'll be on the waiver wires. They'll be all over the place. Hey, let me ask you a question. Maybe for the next update, you got to find Mike Tomlin. He had like a Mike Tomlin post-game press conference yesterday, like only Mike Tomlin can deliver.
I had Roethlisberger for this hour, but we can find Tomlin.
Well, that's another interesting discussion because,
five picks.
Drama, that Ben likes to invoke after bad games and stuff like that is a pretty high level right now.
Well, this was one he's never experienced before. He never had a no-touchdown, five-interception game before.
Yeah, it sucks.
Two pick sixes. So after the game, he's got the dreadful game. The Jaguars lay a whooping on the Steelers at Heinz Field, 30-9. This was the exchange with a reporter afterwards.
John, what do you think's not happening in the passing game right now?
I'm not playing well enough.
Why is that?
Don't think so, but maybe I am. Maybe I don't have it anymore.
Maybe I don't have it anymore. He's a guy that flirted with retirement in the offseason.
Well,
and then.
I was just going to say this team's a good team, still a good team, and I know it didn't look like it yesterday. There's something going on there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it has to do with the national
like
anthem and all
that
stuff. It seems like it.
Yeah.
The whole Antonio Brown thing from last week. And by the way, this week in the NFL wasn't the wide receivers screaming and yelling on the sideline. It was the defensive backs, whether it be Marcus Peters for the Kansas City Chiefs last night or Patrick Peterson for the Arizona Cardinals yesterday in Philadelphia. Those guys were going off on the sidelines.
Oh,
so
Arizona had a tough day yesterday in Philly.
Well, and so did Ben. Ben had a tough day too. So, but I still think that they are, a team that, 5 or 6 weeks from now,
they'll be all right.
They'll be right in the middle of it. Yes.
The
good
Jets
day for
beat
the Jaguars.
Jets beat them.
They
and
then
did. They go losing Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Jaguars have been all over the map.
I'm not saying they haven't.
Leonard Fournette
was 8 of 14 for 95 yards in the interception.
It was the defense, and it was Leonard Fournette. Buck 81, 90-yard touchdown. You guys saw the play where he was basically telling the defensive back to come get it.
Yeah.
Basically knock the guy over.
Remember, he had 181 yards, 90 of those yards coming on the one carry.
That's what I'm saying.
Late in the game when the defense is trying to sell out to get the ball.
No doubt. No doubt. The Jets are 3-2. They've won 3 in a row. First road victory of the season. An ugly one. 17-14 over the Browns. Josh McCown, second half TD passes to Austin Seferian Jenkins and Jermaine Kearse. The Kearse score capping a 97-yard drive. Marcus May, first career INT, as the defense forced 3 turnovers, 2 of them with Cleveland in the red zone. And Demario Davis has been everywhere. Looks like a different player in his second go-around with the team. He stepped in beautifully for David Harris. And the Jets are 3-2, still without a sack from that vaunted defensive line. Pretty amazing. The win, though, sets up a showdown with the Patriots next Sunday at MetLife. First place in the AFC East on the line. Here's Jerry's request now. Cowboys up 31-28 on the Packers. And Green Bay driving late in Arlington. Shades of January's divisional round playoff game.
Aaron pointing to the right now. Gets the snap. Looking. Throws left side of the end zone. Leaping. Great.
Yes!
Devontae Adams.
Yes!
Touchdown, Green Bay! A spectacular throw! Catch to the left side of the end zone.
Wayne Larrabee, Packers Radio Network, with some help from whoever the heck is screaming over the top there. I'm not really sure, but Rodgers does it again right down the field in about a minute to break Dallas's heart after Dak Prescott played an excellent game, had the go-ahead read option score on the prior drive. Green Bay gets to 4-1. Dallas falls to 2-3. Jerry was obviously watching that one closely yesterday.
Yeah, working that game, and that did not go well. No. So what are you going to do?
That's the end of the comments.
So they're on
there,
a bye this week, right?
They are, yeah.
They need
in
one.
In San Francisco, I believe, on the 22nd.
And by the way, Jerry Jones basically came out and said yesterday after the game, you don't stand for the national anthem, you do not play.
Would you like to hear that?
Yes, I'd love to hear that.
Here you go.
We've kneeled in support of each other before the national anthem, and we've stood for the national anthem. We've always done that. And there is no equivocation here. We'll stand for the flag. If there's anything that is disrespectful to the flag, then we will not play.
Jerry.
Okay. You understand? We will not. If we are disrespecting the flag, then we won't play.
The players will.
Pretty much shut it down.
Yeah, kind
there.
Of interesting because a number of the NFL owners now have changed direction. A couple of weeks ago, they were all sensitive and all basically understanding and tried to, you know, help and support the players. And now all of a sudden, not only him, but also Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, has come out and changed and gone 180 degrees in this whole thing. You got to wonder, what's going on? I don't know. I have no idea.
Like it seems like it's different every week. And the narrative is changing from the owners, not from the players, obviously, but... Now what?
Well, and then, of course, you had the whole Mike Pence situation yesterday in Indianapolis where people on the other side of the aisle from where Mike Pence sits are basically saying this whole thing was a setup. And they're saying that they knew that he was going to end up leaving because
San
Francisco 49ers were playing in the game, and you know that they have the most players that take a knee in deference to Colin Kaepernick last year and all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And that's why, you know, he was there to see Peyton Manning, he said, and then left because they were disrespecting the flag. So once again, the NFL playing field has become the political playing field.
Shocking. Shocking.
Shocking is right. All right.
The Rangers beat the Canadians.
They did 2-0 last night, by the way. Henrik actually bounced back from a
60-second career
game
shutout
on Saturday.
Kristaps Porzingis hurt his hip.
I mean, and Neil Aquina is not playing already.
He's got a bruised knee.
I mean, enough. But it's always something with these guys.
They just need the European championship. They want to win the European championships. Don't you understand? It's more important. 8:41 on the fan. I don't even want to talk about the Knicks yet because none of this stuff matters until they get started.
No, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, mornings 6 to 10 on the fan.
John, good morning. It's Boomer and Jerry. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Okay, listen, we got to touch on Friday night. I just want to get your sense of all the things that happened Friday night quick. I know you'll be able to do that. And just kind of give me your feel of the way that Joe Girardi was received last night by the fans.
Totally what was expected, right? I mean, you play in New York, you don't have a good game, you expect to hear about it. And I think Joe handled it well. I think that's exactly what I expected to happen, and it did.
And what about Friday night, the way the game unfolded and the decision-making that Joe basically, you know, the way the Yankee fans are looking at it, John, you know, they basically put it all at his feet.
Well, you know what, Boomer? He had a great wild card game, and he was praised for the way he managed that game with the bullpen. And, you know, he didn't have a great game, too. You know, I thought he pulled CC Sabathia a little bit too early going to a fatigued bullpen. And then, obviously, the replay challenge didn't go his way. You know, there was some communication, not issues, but his guy, Brett Weber, in the clubhouse does such a great job with the replays all year long. And I think Joe relies so heavily on him, and he trusts him so much that, you know, Brett Weber didn't get the replay that was conclusive until about 42 seconds after the play happened. And Joe Girardi thought that was too long. And he didn't choose to replay it, and it was a bad decision. I thought he could have delayed a little bit. I thought he had to make sure at that point, and I thought he had nothing to lose going with the replay, and he didn't do it, and it cost them big time.
Yeah, I think you're in lockstep with everybody in regards to that. Okay, last night, watching Tanaka, when did you realize he had his best stuff, and boy, what a performance he put together last night.
Yeah, we talked a lot last night on the postgame show that first inning was so huge for him. Not only getting two strikeouts, but making some of those hitters, especially Lindor, look really bad. And I think that's when everybody kind of looked at each other and said, all right, he's got the good split. He has the slider. He's ready to go from the first pitch of this game. And, you know, the crowd at Yankee Stadium was electric. I think he was feeding off of that. But, you know, it's really his signature moment as a New York Yankee. This is the reason they brought him over here. This is the reason they paid him all of the money, and boy, did he come up big time. That was a dominant seven innings last night.
John Flaherty with us from the Yes Network. Yankees winning last night 1-0. John, let me ask you, why Tanaka's a seasoned veteran at this point. Why has he been so much better at home than on the road, in your opinion, this year?
It's a great question. I can't figure this guy out, right? I mean, there are times we've talked in the past that he needs an extra day because he pitches better. This year it didn't work out that way. He pitched great at home this year, not on the road. I mean, he's a strange guy. He's tough to figure out. You know, the true aces, usually when they get going during a year, you say, okay, you know what you're going to get out of him. Tanaka's gotten to the point where, as a Yankee fan, you're not quite sure. You know, he was good coming down the stretch, and then he had a fantastic last start of 15 strikeouts, and you were hoping that he would be able to carry that over. And thank goodness for the Yankees, he did, because when they needed him big time, he came up big time. I thought his rhythm last night from the first pitch was great. He showed more emotion than we've seen a lot out of Tanaka. That was fun to see, so it was a big night for him.
Wouldn't you also say for Gary Sanchez last night was a big night behind the plate, especially blocking balls with Kipnis on third base?
That fourth inning.
Yeah, you're right, Boomer. That's been such a big part of this series, and Gary had a big night last night with only getting one base hit, not really doing anything offensively. And, you know, I even said on the post game, he called a shutout in a huge game. I mean, you know, with pitch selection and dealing with Tanaka, which obviously he was locked in, but he had David Robertson, who wasn't at his best, and he had Aroldis Chapman, who had to battle. I mean, those were stressful pitches that he had to call down the stretch. So you're right, Gary Sanchez with the blocking of the ball in the fourth inning was huge. But I thought his calling of a game last night was as good as I've seen him.
Joined by John Flaherty, the Yes Network, Yankees and Indians game four tonight. We have not mentioned yet the guy who is responsible for the one run, and that would be Greg Bird. And last week, John, you know, we were talking to you, and I think it was me, maybe it was Boomer, one of us had said, why would you allow Greg Bird to face Andrew Miller? We didn't understand it. And I'll be honest with you, last night I didn't get it either. And, well, now I see we were wrong and Joe was right. But, you know, what did you see there that all of a sudden he went from looking like he was lost against Miller? He just drilled that thing into the upper deck.
Well, I'll be honest, I was thinking of you guys last night when that at bat happened. And I was thinking to myself, you know, are they going to pinch hit right here? You got Holiday on the bench. And obviously they didn't, and it worked out. But I think the one thing we're seeing from Greg Bird, his at-bats are really tight right now. And by that, I mean he doesn't expand the strike zone. It seems like this playoff atmosphere, he's not going up there just hacking away and hoping for the best. He's really locking it in. And against a guy like Miller, maybe seeing him the other night helped him because he got that fastball out over the plate. And I don't know if you guys saw it on the replay. You know, Greg Bird, his body completely falls out over the plate against a left-handed pitcher in Miller, and I thought that was huge to that at-bat, that he wasn't pulling off at all. He kind of had his body moving out over the plate and was able to use his hands and just hammer that ball. So Joe Girardi, you know, as much as I got on him the other night, he made all the right calls last night, and one of the right calls was not pinch hitting.
Hey, you're talking about Greg Bird being locked in. What is going on with Aaron Judge, and how are the Indians pitching him? Give the fans a sense of what you think their game plan is against the big slugger.
Yeah, we talked a little bit the other day. They're showing him fastballs in. They're elevating fastballs. They're doing enough to get him excited that they're going to give him pitches to drive inside. And then, obviously, they go away with the breaking ball. So, you know, this is obviously, you know, all the advanced scouts and everybody gets such a good look at all these hitters now. They follow him the last couple of weeks of the year. And Cleveland has found something, and they're exploiting it. So, you know, Aaron Judge, he doesn't get a big swing last night, but he makes a big play defensively. But I think everybody in that lineup, you know, you're getting pitched really tough right now. And if you're Aaron, your discipline really you have to take it to another level, kind of like Greg Bird. You know, you're not going to go up there just wailing away. They're not going to let you do that. So you have to tighten it up a little bit and hope that when you get that one mistake, you put your ace swing on it. They're pitching him tough, Boomer. I mean, it's one of those things right now that, you know, they're right on with how they're trying to attack him. The fastball's in and up, and then go and break him ball away. So, you know, Aaron's got to wait for that one mistake and hopefully put a good swing on it.
You know, two things about today's game, tonight's game, and that is, number one, Severino. When are we going to know he's got his best stuff, what to look for here in the first inning when he gets onto the mound? And number two, the Yankees have got to recognize that here comes Trevor Bauer. He's going to be throwing these curveballs left and right until somebody hits it. So I would imagine, you know, given these two pitchers, what the situations are and all that other stuff, it's a fascinating matchup, I would imagine, from somebody in your standpoint.
Well, no doubt. And, you know, you think back to that wild card game with Severino. He said all the right things before it. I'm calm. I'm relaxed. This is my time. I'm looking forward to it. And when you watched him in the first inning, he was all over the place with his fastball. And that's the one thing that I'm going to look for in the first inning tonight. Listen, the crowd's going to be amped up again. Severino's going to be amped up. And he's a young kid who's got to learn that you have to slow it down a little bit. You have to take a step backwards. Or take a step off the mound. So for me, I'm looking in the first inning, fastball command. If he's able to locate down and away to Lindor right away, probably will be leading off as a left-handed hitter, then you're going to feel good about it. If you start seeing the fastball scattered all over the place, it might be a long night again. And then from Bauer's standpoint, 98 pitches last time, and he's on short rest. So he's going to be fatigued a little bit. And again, that curveball that we saw in the first inning of his last start was unhittable. If he comes out with that again, the Yankees are going to have to battle. But on short rest, throwing 98 pitches, you know, Francona has made a lot of right moves in the series. This is another one that he's opening himself up for some criticism. He had Tomlin ready to go and rested, and he's going with Bauer on short rest. So we'll take a look at the curveball early.
That is John Flaherty. A couple more for you quickly. Speaking of fatigue, what are your thoughts on what you get from Chapman tonight? He goes the inning in two-thirds, 34 or 35 pitches. He was obviously amped up last night, 102, 103 on the gun. Is this the type of situation, get a lead and he's one inning and out? Is it wait and see at the ballpark how he feels? How does Joe handle that?
It's all of the above. Wait and see on how he feels. You know, and they weren't just 34 pitches. I mean, you guys saw it. Those were everything he had. He didn't leave anything in the tank. So I think that Chapman is going to say he's available. I think an inning might be a stretch. I think he might be able to get you a couple of outs. But again, this is, you know, he's going to say all the right things. But I think Rothschild, before the game, watching him warm up, seeing how his arm and the ball's coming out of his hand, everything's going to go into it, but man, he came up big last night. You know, all fastballs. I think he only threw four sliders, and
they hit one of them.
We've seen him,
and they hit the one slider that went for a base hit. Boomer mentioned this before. Would you hesitate to use Betances in a spot like that tonight if you're only looking at an out or two from Chapman from what you saw in Cleveland?
Well, what you saw in Cleveland, you have to feel better about. But I think there's always going to be some hesitation with Dellin just because of what he did coming down the stretch. But, you know, at a game like tonight, you know, let's break it down. Green's going to be available. Canely's going to be available. David Robertson's probably a little shaky, maybe an out or two. We've already talked about Chapman. So if the opportunity arises, hey, Dellin stepped up the other night, you know, two big innings. I thought when the leadoff guy got on against Dellin in that third inning that you probably should have went to the pen. But he gave you two big innings. So there is a little bit of confidence that has come back. But anytime you put him in there, you're going to be paying attention because of what happened in September.
All right, John, we appreciate a couple of minutes. It's been, you know, I'm really glad they actually got last night because I feel like today would have been, you know, discussing Joe Girardi on Friday for 4 hours. So now let's see if they can get this thing back. I guess last one for me real quick. If they get this thing back to Cleveland, and I think I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway, the fact that they hit Kluber around on Friday night, how much confidence does a team as a whole, even though a guy like Judge is 0 for 10, how much better do they feel about themselves going into a game like that, having done, even though they didn't win the game, they knocked him out early?
Yeah, of course. You know, there's some confidence that goes with that. But, you know, the key when you're down 0-2 or, you know, when your back's against the wall, you want to put negative thoughts on the other side. And the Yankees have done that now. You just beat, you know, you just won last night, 1-0, great game. Now you have your ace on the mound. If he can go out there and do what he's supposed to do, getting on a plane going back to Cleveland, there's a lot more pressure on the Cleveland Indians than the New York Yankees. So, to your point, they feel good about what they did against Bauer, but I think you get on that plane going to Cleveland and you have a little grin on your face if you're a New York Yankee thinking they got a lot more pressure than we do and we'll take our chances.
Well, speaking of pressure and speaking of hypotheticals, then who would be the starting pitcher for the Yankees that night?
They're already saying Sonny Gray, you know, and that's what they should say. He'd be lined up for it. But that being said, I mean, Sabathia would be on short rest. He would be ready to go. Be all hands on deck, you know, be one of those nights that, you know, pretty much batter to batter. And, you know, Sonny Gray is looking for a chance to redeem himself, just like Severino tonight. So you hope he gets a chance to get the ball and do that.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, enjoy it.
That is John Flaherty from the Yes Network as we discuss Yankees and Indians on Game 4 tonight.
Man.
He knows his baseball.
Oh, man, he's unbelievable.
He knows his baseball.
I think he's fantastic.
I like him, too, because, quite frankly, he agreed with a lot of what I thought.
Yeah, but it sounds such, that was so much more convincing from him.
Of course, I understand.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.